Yeah! Woo! All right. Thanks, y'all, for coming out. I'm Ben Canning. I'm on the engineering team for Skype for Business. This is my good friend and colleague, BJ. Say hello, BJ.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for coming.
Woo! All right. We have had a couple of house networking difficulties that we're working through, but it's going to be awesome. So we're just going to go ahead and get rolling and see what we can do. We wanted to start off by showing y'all just a quick little video. So why don't we
let's cue it?
Yeah, roll that.
All right, you guys. Hey, here we go. Right there.
You are going to be 20 minutes late.
Is everyone
going
to be there on time?
Yes.
Join the meeting for me.
All right, hey guys, I'm here.
Good morning, Arthur. Thank you for joining us. You've got Mia in the field.
Good morning.
Mia, what section are you in again?
I'm in the northwest section.
Terry, come on.
Yes.
Good morning.
Hey.
Can you give us a quick pan of the area, please?
Hey, Mia, can you hold that for a second? I think that's a peregrine falcon's nest.
Could be.
Let me get a picture real quick.
Hey, Jake. We loaded early. We're ready for the next shipment.
Who was asking about shipping early?
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Today I'd like to share the results from our Phase 3 clinical trial.
Los datos iniciales son bastante prometedores. El 63%
60%的患者 胆固醇有显著的降低
significant reduction in their cholesterol. 27% showed moderate improvement.
Good morning, doctor.
Good morning, Eleanor. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
Your numbers look great. We're going to cut down on your medication.
Great. Does that mean I can skip my next appointment?
I think we can save you a trip to the city, but you have to let me know if anything changes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So we made, every time I see that video, I've seen that video like, you know, 100 times now. Every time I see that video, I get a little misty-eyed. We made that for our own engineering team because it really sort of set the North Star for what we wanted to accomplish, as Skype for Business and Skype. You know, this notion of bringing people and teams, doctors and patients, businesses closer together, helping them communicate and do more together is really what gets us up in the morning. So what BJ and I are going to do in the next 70-some-odd minutes or so is take you on a whirlwind tour of Skype for Business. We're going to focus across the board. We've got about 10 demos that we're going to do. So we're going to dive right into it. And I think what you'll see by the end of it is that a lot of the things that we showed in that vision video, we're really starting to bring to life today with Skype for Business. And I think you'll be excited. So BJ, why don't you take us on a tour of the new client?
Yeah, let's do it. We'll do a quick intro. You know, we started talking about Skype.
Oh, whoops.
Back to the PC, if you would. We started talking about Skype for Business in November, and probably a lot of people here know that we made the first release of the client in April. The server now GA. The service we're flipping over as well. And the question that came up is, what is Skype for Business? And of course, the first thing is, it's the next version of Link. So it has all the features that Link has. The big change we made other than the name is we've redesigned the UI to take advantage of the familiarity that hundreds, literally hundreds of millions of people have with Skype. Everyone from my 4-year-old daughter to my 75-year-old mother knows how to use Skype. And we wanted to take advantage of that to make Skype for Business that much easier for people to adopt in all of your organizations and even within ours. So those two things, everything that was in Link with a UI inspired by Skype. And of course, we deliver this in the server. I mentioned we've just released the newest server version. We deliver it in Office 365 and increasingly the best of both, server and cloud or hybrid. And then finally, a big focus for Ben and his team, of course, is to deliver it with all the capabilities, the security, the compliance, the control that all the organizations here need, whether they're enterprises or public sector. And that's the enterprise grade piece. But enough talk. We're going to walk you through some demos. As Ben said, we'll try to do more demo than talking, and we'll start in Skype for Business. And just a quick one, anybody who's used Link, this of course looks a lot like Link. You know, at the very top, you've got my little message, how am I feeling today? You've got my location. I'm in room E354B at Ignite. If you're using Skype for Business as your telephony system, we use that for enhanced 911. You know, I've got the choice. I can move between my contact list, which I'm showing here. I can go to my calendar, my recent conversations. Where really the piece, you know, where really this comes to life as Skype, though, is when we jump into a video call. Gurdeep talked in a keynote today about half of communication is nonverbal. So let's see what Mr. Canning has to say in terms of nonverbal communication here. Ben, do that demo dance you did a minute ago. That was nice up on stage.
Oh, that was when I was invoking the demo gods to please make the network work? Yeah, that's a good one.
That is a good one. I'm just going to maximize them here for a second. You notice at the bottom, you noticed it before I pulled out. Here you see the Skype logo. If you've ever done a Skype video call, does this look like Skype? It absolutely does. You know, a couple things that really jump out for me at the bottom. Our design team calls these the four core controls. They're the things you need in every call. You've got the video, I can mute. And I'm going to show you a few of the places where, although this is unmistakably Skype, it's also unmistakably Link. So if I go to the sharing button, for example, you know, I've got all the rich sharing options that Link had. We're going to demo some of the new ones here in a few minutes. Another one, you know, those who have used Link 2013, we actually had some feedback that said, hey, we like a lot of the UI. There are some things that take a little while to discover or find. And so another place I always like to show people is down here. We made the call controls just a single click from the main UI. And here you've got the dial pad is right there. I think we were two levels deep in Link 2013. I can transfer between my PC and my mobile phone if I want. I can transfer to another number. And I can switch between devices very, very easily. One of the things, some of you guys may know Ali Rohani, who is here. Ali runs our TAP program, or his team does. I was shocked when they showed me some of the stats from TAP of how did existing Link 2013 users like the new UI? Which one did they like better? And it was a pretty big number. Ali, you can talk to him offline. Actually, existing users who generally love Link like the new UI even better. 86% of it. Another thing that we did here that we took out of Skype, you know, here I've got the Skype for Business window in focus. But if I pull something else up, we'll just jump into Bing here for a second. You notice what happened is the call was immediately moved into what we call the call monitor. You know, and this is maybe Ben and I are working and we want to talk a little bit about Bing. I'm not going to forget that Ben and I are in a call or lose that beautiful video and the sort of beauty of the nonverbal communication. And that's just automatic, that call monitor. So in a sense, it's a lightweight, very simple integration with any application. No software work required. It's just built in. You put something else in focus, and we pull up that call monitor. So let me maximize here. Hey, Ben, you want to take them a little bit deeper in some of the stuff that Julia showed today?
Yeah. So I'm going to switch over to my screen. You know, a lot of what you saw this a little bit in Julia's keynote, this notion of people wanting to communicate and collaborate in an ad hoc fashion together. And oftentimes when we do this today, we're, you know, doing like a screen share kind of a thing where, you know, BJ can see my screen. He has to kind of tell me what he wants to do, but it's really hard for us to sort of coordinate what we're doing. So we've made some enhancements, and this is a little bit pre-release. This will be coming in the Gemini 2 version of Office, where you can see here on the share panel, I can choose start Office co-auth session. And when I do that, it's going to bring up my OneDrive. And you can see here I've got some files in my OneDrive. BJ and I are working on where we're going to go party after we're done with our session tonight. And so we've got a meeting later on with Jamie and a couple other folks to talk about that. And so this is bringing up my OneDrive, and I'm going to go ahead and open that. And because it's in my OneDrive, we're going to go ahead and fix up all the permissions that are necessary. So everybody who's in this meeting is going to have access to that file so that we can just get right in and collaborate. I'm not making a copy of this file. I'm actually loading the file up on my screen and on Jamie's screen and everybody else who's in the meeting. And we can see you've got this nice little Skype button here that lets Jamie and I, or BJ and I, see each other. We can IM with each other and work side by side. I can see here that that BJ is working on the slide. He's going to make it beer, beer, beer. I'm going to go ahead and make this more of a nice Skype blue color. So that it works for the team. So this way we can both work very easily and readily together at the same time without a lot of hassles of figuring out where do we put the file and how do we permission it and everything. So let me close that out, and I'm gonna go say goodbye to BJ for a minute. You know, the other thing that we do is, you know, we have a lot of these ad hoc interactions, but we also have a lot of scheduled meetings. And so in this case, we'll go ahead and we've got our party planning committee meeting later this afternoon. And I'm going to go ahead and edit that meeting. And I'll attach the PowerPoint presentation that we were just working on. So you can see here, this is that party locations. And I'll go ahead and do a normal attachment just like I used to do. And so that's going to attach that as a that's going to attach that. I'm also going to attach this other document here, this party plan Word document, and I'm going to use a cool new feature that's in Outlook now, where I can share with OneDrive. So rather than actually attaching the file and sending around a copy to everyone, I just share a link to the file. And again, we fix up all of the permissions on the file so that everybody who gets this mail is going to be able to get access to that file. Okay, so that's pretty nice. Now I've got the files in my meeting, and we'll fast forward later on in the day, and we'll assume that it's now time for my meeting. So one of the things when we start up a meeting, you know, you spend so much time at the beginning of the meeting, like trying to figure out, like, okay, where's the files that we were going to talk about, and do you have access to it, or do I have access to it? So let me go ahead and join the meeting. And you'll find that right here, in 1 second, I did mention it's pre-release code. All right, the demo gods are not smiling on us today, Beej. Let me try this one more time.
Yeah, and what you would see, you saw a little bit of it this morning with Julia. We actually automatically load the content into the Skype for Business meeting. I know for me, that's the first 5 minutes of every call is to dig that thing up and put it in.
That's right. And so what you should see, but we're not seeing at the moment because the demo gods are not smiling, is that we would automatically load that content into the meeting, both the one that was attached to the document and to the one that's attached with the link. But not so much today.
Yeah, no worries. We got plenty more demo, Ben. More chances for the gods to smile.
More chances for the gods to smile on us. So, why don't you talk about...
Yeah, absolutely. Was anybody here able to attend the Enterprise Connect show a few weeks ago? It was back in mid-March. We've got probably 25, 30 people there. You know, Zig Serafin, who's Ben's boss, and I guess by extension my boss and Jamie's boss, you know, during his keynote, he talked a bit about meetings all up, and he talked not only about the need to be able to join from, you know, these devices, PCs of different types, but actually, you've got to be able to join meetings in the right way in a bunch of different scenarios. We spent a lot of time at Enterprise Connect, and we'll do it here as well, talking about the meeting room. And, you know, if you look at the numbers, there are something like 50 million meeting rooms in organizations of different sizes around the world, 50 million of them. There are somewhere around a million of those. I don't remember the exact number. Somewhere around a million of them have, you know, something like a formal video room system in them. The other 49 million have projectors, they have displays, you know, big TV displays on the wall. And so one of the things we're doing along with Polycom, one of our partners, is actually to deliver products that allow you to very cost-effectively, very easily enable those existing 49 million rooms to be full Skype for Business endpoints. And actually, I don't know if you can see it from here. Up on the stage here, you see a couple of boxes here. This is a speakerphone, a little, you know, it's basically a little computing element and a video camera. These are a prototype of the Polycom Roundtable 100. Ben and I, with the help of Paul in the front row, brought them in last night. We plugged in power, an HDMI cable, you're seeing it here, and these two USB devices. And we've now got, you know, we've now enabled this room as a Skype for Business room. Now, this may not be the optimal device for a room with 1,500 people in it, but this very simple thing, just three connections and you're there.
That's right. That's right. And it's a sub $1,000 device. You can put it in every huddle room that you have. And the nice thing about this device, I'm going to switch back over to the PC here. Let me just bop out of there for a sec. So the nice thing about this device is that every one of you has a controller for this device in your pocket. Because the way that you control the Roundtable 100 is through a simple app that's on your phone. And it'll work on your Windows phone, it'll work on your Android phone, it'll work on your iPhone. So everybody has the controller. You don't have to worry about losing the remote control, or does the remote control have batteries in it. And the other nice thing is that since it's the app that's on my phone, it knows who I am. So it's logged in as me, it knows all of my meetings, and so all I have to do is walk into any huddle space that's got a Roundtable in it. I whip out my phone, and with one click, I'm going to join the meeting. Switch back over and we'll...
If you switch back over, you'll see what's happening here on the device, which is lots, clearly. Did you pair to this room?
No, I did. We're having the network challenges, as you recall.
Why don't you switch over to my PC while we join here?
What are you, 7?
I think I'm number 1. Yeah, so this is actually, the Roundtable 100 is one of Polycom's full portfolio of Roundtable devices. They announced these at Enterprise Connect, and that includes not just this device, very, very cost effective. You know, there's really minimal IT management required on it because it, you know, as we showed, you just connect it and it works. It extends up through the Link Room systems that they announced a couple years ago and that also a couple other vendors supply. It's actually part of a broader portfolio. There are several other companies here. Definitely check them out. Crestron and Smart have been building room systems. Actually, great innovation in this space.
Unreal.
They're on the show floor. You can see those. And the Surface Hub that Julia showed today. Did anybody like the Surface Hub demo in the keynote this morning? Very, very cool. Ben, have we joined on the roundtable here?
I think we're having some network issues there.
We're having a little bit of network issues. All right. So, full portfolio there, room systems, these can go to the very, very large. How about the very small? You know, we talked in some of the forums beforehand, the O365 IT Pro Forum, there were a few questions on when are we going to extend Skype for Business to other devices. This is an iPhone 6 here. It's cabled, I won't hold it up too much. But I'll join here as well. This gives me an opportunity to talk about when we're going to bring the experience to other devices. And let's go to a slightly different view here. All right, I have joined as Katie Jordan here. Let's turn on our video. In fact, you know, when I first started talking to people outside the company about what we were going to do here at Ignite, and that we were going to demo some of this stuff, one person actually told me, it was in a forum, he said, you know, if you don't talk about iOS, Android, and Mac, you should be wearing a full armor suit. Because we've released the Skype for Business Windows desktop client, but we haven't yet released or publicly put dates on when we'll do the others. Anybody interested? All right. You know, so the first part of it is, and what I'm going to give you here is basically the target dates. You know, for the Windows desktop, we actually did a very broad preview as well. We're working with Ali and his team to see how broad a preview we can do on iOS and Android. The team's working very hard, expects to deliver these in general availability by this fall. You know, the other one We've continued to work with the Link for Mac, but of course we want to deliver, and we're working on a new Skype for Business for Mac. And there was some chatter in the forums about, hey, is that out in 2016? Is it 2015? I'm here to say our goal and the engineering team is working very, very hard to deliver that this year, in customers' hands this year. Come on, that's a good one, isn't it?
A little bit more.
All right. You going to switch back to the presentation then,
yeah,
Ben?
Yeah, I'm going to switch back to the presentation. Here we go. So we talked about ad hoc meetings. We've talked about scheduled meetings in small groups. We've talked about meeting rooms and getting Skype for Business experiences in every meeting room. But now we want to go big. And Julia talked about this, demonstrated this a little bit at the keynote today. Paul, how we doing? Okay. So starting this summer, we will launch a broadcast meeting service for Skype for Business. And this service is something we're incredibly excited about. You can deliver meetings to 10,000 plus people inside your company, outside of your company. It has the familiar Skype for Business user experience. There's no sort of weird other service to buy. It runs in our cloud. You go into Outlook, schedule a meeting. If the meeting is large enough, we'll say, hey, why don't you schedule this as a broadcast meeting? And we'll set it right up for you. It's incredibly scalable. Like I said, it'll scale up to 10,000 plus users. Runs on top of our Azure Media Delivery System, the one that ran the Olympics. So you can scale incredibly large. You can go incredibly global. You don't have to deliver any infrastructure on your premise in order to take advantage of this service. So it's a really great example of the way we think about hybrid cloud services, where you can deliver Skype for Business on your premise if that's what you choose, but you can take advantage of our services in the cloud when you need to. It's an incredibly reliable service, backed by our financially backed SLA, so you can rely on it to deliver your meetings. It scales down to any device, so anyone with a browser, anyone with an iPhone, with an iPad, an Android phone can participate in the meeting. And it's highly extensible. You noticed this morning that Julia did a demo where there was a Bing Pulse, but you can integrate other Q&A capabilities in it. You can customize it to meet the needs of your business. So we're incredibly excited about that service, which we'll be launching later on this summer. Greg Berrybull will have a session deep diving on all of the architecture and how to use that system a little bit later this week.
I'll move us forward, Ben.
Okay.
Absolutely. This idea of the broadcast meetings and going very large. In Office 365, this will let us go from the current limit of 250 people in a Link meeting to 10,000 and potentially beyond in the future. Pretty big difference. But this idea of having this very, very broad reach is very important to us, probably very important to a lot of the organizations here. We talked about meetings, and of course, in a Skype for Business meeting, you can have anyone join, inside or outside your organization. You can now scale quite large. Last year, we enabled for the first time video connectivity between Link and the Skype network. In a minute, I'm going to show you a little bit more about that, because when we enabled that, there were a few things that we left as pretty difficult for the user. So we'll show you a little bit about how we're making that better. And then, of course, it's more than just being able to connect to people that you know by name. So the middle case, when I add somebody who's a Skype user to my contact list, it's probably someone who's a close partner, maybe a customer that I want to have instant access to. There are cases where I actually don't know the person. It may be a potential customer for my business. They may be coming to me through my web portal. And what we want to do there is enable them to reach you in a very rich way, take advantage of familiarity with the Skype name and the controls to make them comfortable with it. So why don't we show you a little bit about those two things as well. And we'll do this, if you jump over here, Ben.
Coming to you.
One of the people in the front room, some of the people in the room may know Jamie Stark. And here, this is just search my corporate directory. I'll make this a little bit bigger so you can see. So there's Jamie. He's been raptured up to be CVP of operations. That either means this is a demo tenant or actually we got to have a problem in Microsoft's corporate directory. But you notice as well the Skype directory choice here. Let's see if there are a lot of Jamies. It may not resolve quite as quickly to our famous Mr. Jamie Stark. Yeah, there are a few more. Now, one of the things is, you know, in the existing Link 2013 client, the only way to get Jamie's Skype ID into your client was to know it beforehand. And on top of that, not only did you have to know it, Jamie had to have a Microsoft account, not a Skype ID. Well, we fixed both of those, and we've added the search here. So let's see if we can narrow down to Jamie Stark. You know, how many of these guys can there be, after all? Let's see. We're searching. There may be a lot of Jamie Starks. Jamie, I don't know how many sort of demo examples you put in the directory. Oh, it's back. He's right. And we found too many matches to show them all. So let's see if we can narrow it down a little bit further. One of the things we did is actually allow you to narrow it by where is the person. Jamie lives in Seattle. And let's see, we're narrowing down that huge list, and you can see now we've resolved on Mr. Stark. That's actually pretty good. That's a search over hundreds of millions of IDs.
Yes.
And then what I can actually do, oh, I've just lost him here. What I could actually do from that is with a single touch or click, I can add him into my contact list. So a huge advantage over what we did in Link 2013. And now, you know, if you're on Office 365, this is enabled across all the tenants. And if you're on the new Skype for Business server, this is enabled as well with the new client. So really a great improvement. Skype ID support, directory search built into the client.
Yeah, that's a huge improvement, and really sort of brings to fruition a lot of the goal we had around allowing you to connect to everyone everywhere. But we want to take it further than that. You want to enable that kind of business to consumer scenario or business to business scenario within your own line of business applications. And last week at Build, we announced the Skype Developer Platform. We'll have a deep dive on that from Andy Bybee later this week. But I want to show you real quick today how you can use the Skype Developer Platform to integrate these kinds of rich communication experiences into your own internal and customer-facing scenarios. So this is a little demo app that we put together. This is a doctor's office, Lambda Healthcare. One of the things you can see here is that the doctor has full full presence information. He's got, so we know his name, we know his presence information. We know his picture. All of that's being pulled via the Skype developer platform into this web experience. And so the scenario here is that we're going to do a little telemedicine here today. And BJ is going to be the patient. And you can see here that when BJ calls, he goes right into the on hold system, and the doctor is notified that the patient is here waiting for him. All I have to do is click. And I'm going to get right into a rich, full video experience inside of Skype. And so you can see here, hey Jamie, hey BJ, you can see here that we've integrated the familiar Skype experience directly into this web app, pulling in data from about this patient. And this is all stuff that you can do today with the Skype Developer Platform preview, allowing you to take advantage of the full richness of the Skype for Business backend and provide that for your customers. So we think that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, this was one of those ones Ben mentioned at the beginning after the video. He said, hey, you know, we built that video as a look 18 months out. You know, this was really the purpose was actually to inspire the team a bit. And here's one of those scenarios that we're delivering now. You remember at the end of that, there was a woman who called into her doctor with her mobile device. Now, frankly, she's looking a little bit better than Katie Holmes is in this particular demo. But it's actually starting to deliver on that.
That's right.
That 18-month.
That's
plus
right.
Visit.
We can deliver directly on that scenario today, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what you all are going to do with this kind of capability to build on top of that. So let me go ahead and
absolutely
hang up on that. We'll go. So that's a great example of our web toolkit. We've taken it a little bit further than that, and we've got a new UCMA and other aspects of the Skype Developer Platform.
Absolutely. I don't know if people saw this news this morning. Genesys, you may be familiar with, one of the leading contact center suppliers. Genesys announced this morning support for Skype for Business Server, and a native integration with the managed APIs and Skype for Business Server and their customer experience platform. You know, super exciting to have them join the other ISVs who are built on top of Link Server and Skype for Business Server already. So I'm particularly thrilled. If there's anybody from Genesys here, give them a big round of applause, because this is actually huge news for the Skype for Business ecosystem.
We've also, so most of everything that we've shown you today is available right now with Skype for Business Server. And we're super excited about some of the other goodies that we've put into that server. We talked about the Skype developer platform. We also made a huge investment around reliability, resiliency, and scalability in the server. We recognize that, Skype for Business is mission critical for many of your enterprises. We're delivering the core phone, core telephony experience. Meetings are incredibly critical. We take that incredibly seriously. So in Skype for Business Server, you're going to find support for things like SQL Always On replication. We've got WinFab 3.0. And we've extended that reliability mission all throughout the product, all down to making sure that conversation history works perfectly on mobile devices, so that the mobile device is a full and complete participant in the conversation. To making sure that meeting join is utterly reliable and flawless, so you never have to worry about, okay, is it really going to work? Unless you're on a stage with 1,500 people and the network is in flux, and then you're in trouble. But we've done a lot of work around interoperability. So right out of the box, you'll have video interoperability services, so that with Cisco and Tanberg devices in your enterprise, you'll be able to interoperate directly with those. Those will be able to join directly into Skype for Business meetings. And similarly, we're interoperating well with existing PBXs. So if you've got folks that need to stay on existing PBX phones, the new call via work feature will allow you to make that work really well, while still allowing you to take advantage of the Skype for Business user experience. We've done a bunch of work around easy hybrid setup and management. So it's very easy to set up a hybrid configuration and take advantage of cloud services where that's appropriate for your business, and easy to move users back and forth from the cloud to on-prem. And then perhaps most important, what I want to demo for you now, is we've made it really easy to adopt Skype for Business Server.
Yeah, as Ben switches, go ahead and switch over. I'll just a couple of notes in case you weren't aware. The server's now available for download in the download center. That was as of May 1st. Another one that Zig likes to talk about, this is probably our best validated server ever. And it's, we validated it not only through the TAP program and the help of some of the companies here through our internal dog fooding, but also we've been running the bits in online for quite a while. So
yeah, that's right. We rolled the first versions of the first incarnations of the Skype for Business server into online back in December. And so we've been running and validating that with real world usage since December. Millions of minutes of conferencing and meetings and so forth have been running on top of this system at scale in production for quite some time now. So just to show you that this is not all smoke and mirrors, this right here is Skype for Business server topology builder. Everyone's familiar with the topology builder from running Link Server. Yeah, okay. So all I need to do, just to prove this out to you, is to upgrade to Skype for Business Server 2015. I go into Topo Builder, I right-click and I upgrade the pools, and then I publish the pool. That's going to automatically upgrade your databases and get the topology perfectly ready to run Skype for Business. And then all I have to do is go to the front ends and run setup, and I'm going to see, and we'll upgrade you to Skype for Business Server. One of the nice new features of our in-place upgrade is that we will go and check online to see if you've got all the latest patches ready to go. But the key point is that Skype for Business Server will run on the same topology, the same hardware that your existing Link 2013 servers are running on. So you don't need to go through a lengthy process of figuring out what's the new hardware and da-da-da. We've made sure that you can upgrade in place on the same hardware with very, very minimal downtime. Upgrading a front end like this will take, you know, on average 20 minutes. You can also, if you're running paired pools, you can pretty much avoid anything but momentary downtime for your users by failing users back and forth. So it's very easy to adopt, and you can do it right now today. Oh, sorry, that's the other thing I wanted to do. All right, but we've also made a huge investment in IT Pro tooling. We know that you want to deliver really excellent media quality to your end users, and that can be really challenging, especially as users do more and more on wireless networks. So one of the things that we've invested in is a new tool that we call the Skype Call Quality Dashboard, and I'm showing it to you here with some example data. This comes with VNX server and runs on top of the CDR and QoE data that we already provide, allowing you to provide trending data across a wide variety of things. So here you can see the monthly trend of audio streams, and you can see that we've got just under 4% poor call quality currently in this data set. We've also introduced a Rate My Call feature, so you can see what your users are saying about what call quality looks like from their perspective, and start to drill into that. So that's kind of interesting, but really you want to drill down a little bit deeper. So if we drill down into the next level, I can show you a distinction between managed audio streams, so ones where we're coming from a wired connection, and unmanaged streams where we're coming over Wi-Fi, and you can see that the rate of calls is about similar in those two instances, but the poor call rate on the unmanaged streams is much higher. So that's kind of cool, and now we probably want to drill in a little bit more and figure out, okay, so for those unmanaged streams, what's going on there? And again, we can drill in a little bit more and see that these ones here, these are server Wi-Fi inside. So that means inside the corporate firewall, these are Wi-Fi calls going straight to the server. So this is all, you know, under your control. They're not coming from outside the firewall on some, you know, Starbucks network that you don't really have anything to do with. This is all in your control. And you can see, oh, well, you know, look, the poor call rate's kind of high. Well, that's good, but I got a big network. I need to do a little bit more than that. So let me drill down one more level into that server Wi-Fi inside. And now we're starting to get into some really interesting stuff, because now I can see that, hey, I can map my IP ranges to specific locations. And this is an easy upload that you can do to map the IP ranges to locations inside of the COE data. And now I can see things that, like, hey, you know, the Paris office, they make a lot of calls, and their poor call rate is really pretty terrible. And so that's a place where I want to go and look and see what's going on. I can also look at things like endpoint, you know, chipsets for Wi-Fi endpoints, and see if, hey, was there a particular Wi-Fi endpoint that I bought that turns out has really poor media quality, and maybe I want to think about that in a refresh cycle. So we've been able to use this tool inside of Microsoft and come up with about a 3x improvement in poor call rate by going and finding the places where, like, you know, in building 5, when the contractor installed the Wi-Fi router, Wi-Fi access points, they put them behind all of the ductwork baffles. And, you know, Exchange, you know, email is like, yeah, whatever, I don't care, but you're trying to do, you know, real-time media over a laptop, and that's just going to kill you. And it's one of these things where we can now really drill down and help you figure out, okay, what is the deal? Where is the problem? And deliver that awesome media quality to your customers. And so that's a tool that's coming out as part of our IT Pro Toolkit on the web, and you'll be able to use it for your own information.
Yeah, great, Ben. So that's actually really interesting, Ben. Give it up for Ben. You know, so what's interesting there, Ben probably mentioned this, the way we're doing that, we're pulling data out of QoE and CDR, basically the monitoring server that sits in the server if you're running on the server, or we can pull it out of our backend in online. So it's basically information that the client gave us and other stuff that's sort of from the Skype for Business realm. So let's suppose you've drilled in and you've figured out that Paris has Wi-Fi issues, or you've got networking issues in Mississauga or whatever that other city was there. Right? Actually, the reality of the networks that people in this room are running is that there's a lot of stuff between where the user is sitting, even if they're inside the firewall, and maybe the server on the back end that is hosting the meeting. Right? And so now you've narrowed down to it's a problem in this particular site or this IP range. And the next question you probably ask is, okay, so how do I drill further into that network, which may have routers from, you know, several third parties. It may have Wi-Fi access points from others. It's got all sorts of different traffic. Maybe it's got other voice systems in it. And the question is, how do I drill in then to do the next level of determination? If you'll switch back then, Ben, to the main PC.
One more.
You know, here are three companies actually that are delivering IT Pro tools that extend the inbox tool set. And each of these companies gives you a slightly different view of it, but take Nectar, for example. They can drill into different elements within your network to help you figure out sort of where is the bottleneck, what's really going wrong. Unify's got a very sweet set of monitoring tools and some sort of, if you will, a priori sort of synthetic transaction tools to predict problems before they happen. Event Zero, likewise, great set of tools that extend what's in box and allows you to go to that next level, both avoiding the problem in the first place, and then once you figured out you've got one, figuring out what was the root cause underneath it. And this is an area so important to us. You know, we believe it's so important not only to be able to find out, hey, I've got a Wi-Fi problem in Paris. That's only half the problem. The next part is, okay, how do I fix it and address that? And that may well be outside the realm of Skype for Business. And so we've actually built a program to certify these third-party IT Pro tools. Formal program, just do a quick Bing search or Google search. You'll find the TechNet page with the details on this, and you'll be able to learn more about these companies and the program overall. All right. You know, so we just spent a bit of time talking about the server tools, the way you can diagnose what's going on in your network. What about if you're on Office 365? You're in this case relying somewhat on your network. Your end users are sitting on your network if they're not in Starbucks or at home. But you're also relying on the connection into our network and then our network itself. Now, of course, Microsoft has a pretty huge network. This is what's supporting Azure and the rest of Office 365 and Bing and Hotmail or Outlook.com and the full set of things. You know, this picture actually is a bit of network map here. Within Skype for Business, we're actually making targeted investments to make our network, the Microsoft network, work better for real-time communications. This includes a number of things just within our network before we even get to the edge. This is what routes do we use for real-time communications, right? One of the examples that Ben and Zig like to use is, hey, for email, and Ben mentioned before, email may be a little bit more tolerant of latency. You know, it may be okay to go around the southern tip of Africa. For real-time communications, you want to go through the Suez Canal. It's a little more expensive, but cutting that latency really matters. And there's sort of an example of optimizing inside the network. The other example is if you're connecting on the internet, we want to get you onto our network sooner where we can manage it on the public internet. The other one, this one I'm really excited about, during March, as Office 365 overall, we announced that Azure Express Route was being extended to cover Office 365, so you get the benefits across all of the workloads. And then beyond that, at Enterprise Connect, to come a little bit closer.
There you go.
At Enterprise Connect, we talked about extending that spec for real-time communications and working with the partners shown here. So the idea here is that you can basically connect your WAN, your network, directly to Office 365. And with the enhancements to the spec, the QoS markings can be carried end-to-end from our data center all the way down to yours. So by adding that managed network connection Office 365, when your users are inside your firewall, you've got an end-to-end managed network, which gives you the predictability and control that you really need for when they're inside the network. And of course, even when you've done that, there's still going to be people connecting on the internet. It's the Starbucks example or the person working from home potentially.
That's right. So we're trying to really provide you with all of the tools that you need. You know, we talked about the call quality diagnostic tool that's going to allow you to get real insight inside of your network. This express route work allows us to ensure that the connectivity from your network into our backend data center is over a fat dedicated pipe that understands real-time communication needs and provides the right QoS markings and ensures that those pass all the way through. Within our network, we have one of the largest networks in the world. We're taking massive amounts of traffic every single day. And then if you think about the increasing mobility of the workforce, you know, people are joining from Starbucks, they're joining from their homes, and they're expecting full and, you know, real-time communication. The Skype network is accounting for about 38% of global long-distance traffic over the open internet today. And that network allows us to have, more than anyone else on the planet, a real-time mapping of where the fastest routes are, how we can get data effectively over the internet and deliver media at a high quality over the internet. So coupling all of those things together, we provide you with a complete package for delivering excellent real-time media quality throughout your enterprise and over the open internet. And so beyond that, this year, by the end of this year, By the end of this year, we will be lighting up three new voice-related services in the cloud, building on top of that fundamental network infrastructure that I just talked about. Number one is we'll provide an enterprise voice solution based in our cloud. This solution will have all of the things that you would expect from us: call forward, call park, team call, all of the things that you'd come to expect from a rich enterprise voice solution. We'll provide a native audio conferencing solution in the cloud as well. I'm using this audio conferencing solution today inside of Microsoft, and I think you're going to be blown away when you see it with how easy it is to set this for this thing to get set up. Basically, all of your users in Office 365 will just have audio conferencing if you want it, just like that. Very simple setup. We'll deliver that in the U.S. this year and moving globally very rapidly. Enterprise voice will deliver globally by the end of this year. And then PSTN calling. We need to provide a solution for interfacing with the PSTN network. And we'll allow you to do this in two ways. Number one, we believe strongly in the hybrid configurations. So we'll enable you to take your existing PSTN infrastructure from your premise and connect it to our call control in the cloud. So you can maintain your existing carrier relationship, but leverage the economic and scale benefits and feature benefits of our call control in the cloud, enterprise voice features in the cloud. But we'll also be lighting up a direct PSTN calling service. So that'll start in the U.S. and then move globally. So we will provide number porting. We will provide new number generation. We'll provide E911 services, lawful intercept services, and et cetera. So we'll provide, on the basis of that media delivery network that I talked about, a complete end-to-end solution for telephony and enterprise voice. One throat to choke, if you will, for delivering enterprise voice capabilities, soup to nuts, and we'll do this by the end of the year in the U.S. and moving globally thereafter. We're pretty excited about it. I'm working with the team now. It's coming together really well.
Before you jump ahead here, we've actually got about 20 minutes left. I'm going to jump out of sequence here for a second. I'll explain why in a minute. Let me just refresh this. You may have noticed, if you joined our Pulse earlier on in the session, you may have noticed it wasn't live. I'll explain why that was for a second. Actually, backstage, we've got a guy who was setting up our broadcast meeting. Let's go ahead and join that. And we did have some network difficulties, but the guys just texted me and said, hey, we're live now, so let's show this thing. I really want to show it because it's kind of cool here. Actually, this is slightly less interesting, the page here. You notice a little bit of a lag there. You notice it was showing the join, which was probably a 15-second delay. Now we're on the same screen. So let me tell you what's going on here. We've actually pulled off, in this case, we pulled off the video mixer in the back. We pulled off their feed, and we're piping it into a Skype for Business meeting. So the presentation is in a standard Skype for Business meeting. It's then being broadcast using Azure, right? And it's the Azure Content Delivery Network, which is inserting a little bit of a delay here. Let me, it is actually very interesting to be showing and seeing it at the same time. So let me back up a little bit. I'll make it a little bit less unnatural. This is actually one of the really cool features of it, right? Imagine I had joined this broadcast late and I wanted to hear whatever the voiceover was on this part of the Microsoft network. So I've really got a DVR-like control. You know, I can jump back in time. Here's when we were talking about the IT Pro tools. You know, and so here, what's really going on is, even though there's a little bit of a time lag, everything that we're saying here is now broadcast on the internet to, in this case, a relatively small number of people given the challenges we were having up front, but it could be up to 10,000. So that's the first part, just that scale with this very simple DVR-like control that works in any browser. You know, the other thing here that I really love, here's actually the Bing Pulse that's an example of extensibility in the broadcast meetings. We did this as just an example of extensibility. This one, if anybody was actually, this one was supposed to show up during our demo of the beer pub, so I think for Ben, we'll answer drinking beer. You know, here I can complete a couple profile things. I'm in North America, my company has more than 10,000. And this Bing Pulse, it's not part of the product, but it's built in. Actually, these are demographic questions that then allow you to slice the data. So throughout this presentation, whatever you're making, you can be getting a little bit of feedback to specific poll questions. So sort of one very cool thing. This one, this is actually the Bing Pulse itself. I think what BJ and Ben are saying is, what do you think, a heavy thumbs up? You know, and you're actually getting a histogram of
optimizing inside the network.
How the people
on
the Pulse were
reacting on the internet. We want to get you onto our network sooner where we can manage it on the public.
And that was actually the audio coming out of that broadcast meeting, so you could hear that. Right, so this part, what actually happened here when Ben was saying, hey, we're having some issues, we actually backstage were having trouble connecting into our broadcast meetings, which slowed us down a bit. This is what Julia showed earlier today. This is what we'll actually be previewing and shipping later this year. Whether you're a server customer or Office 365, you'll be able to use this. As I say, here's one example of integration or extensibility, the Bing Pulse. You'll be able to use Yammer, and third parties can build in as well. I think a formal Q&A manager is a great example. There are a number of
formal Q&A manager is a great example. The other thing that's great about this is that it's you know deeply integrated into Office 365. So for example, one thing that it ties into is the Office 365 video portal. So if you go see some of the SharePoint sessions where they're talking about the new video portal work that they're doing, when this broadcast is done, there's an automatically we've recorded the broadcast, and that recording can be made available in the company video portal. So you've got a really nice, like, I'm going to go and do the broadcast. The broadcast has a recording. It goes into the video portal. I can come back and look at it later. We tie all of those things together into one nice integrated package that you can take advantage of.
Absolutely. One thing I'm looking for, just a quick one on the screen here, if you can see it, there was a little bit of a lag here, sort of a meh moment in our presentation. We haven't yet built it so I can tie that back to who was speaking at the time. I'm guessing it was probably me and not Ben, but over time, it'd be great to be able to see that. So if you imagine you were using this for a webinar for your company, being able to then see which were the places where, you know, really the speaker wasn't that effective, or where were the places where the visuals really rocked it. So a lot of power in that extensibility and a lot of power in the reach of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's jump back. So I hope it was okay. We jumped a little bit off. All right. So Ben, back to Mr. Canning.
And I feel compelled to say, for the sake of the team backstage, it wasn't the service that had a problem. It was that we couldn't actually get to the internet at all from the backstage. So just so we're clear.
They don't seem that impressed, Ben.
I know they're not impressed, but I just... I know. Okay. So what to do next? Number one, get ready for the Skype for Business client now. It's available. It will be coming out in the May public update for Office 2013. We'll have Link will become Skype for Business. We've done a bunch of work to enable you to retain the existing Link user experience. if you're not ready for the Skype for Business user experience. And so you can, we've got a bunch of documentation both on how to retain the existing experience, but also a bunch of training videos to help you roll out the new experience for your end users. Obviously, we would encourage you to roll out the new experience. Your users are all familiar with Skype, and so it's going to be, we think it's going to be a very easy transition, but we do have that capability. But it is coming in May, in the PU.
When I'm even going to interrupt and say it's actually in the April PU already, so if you adopted the April PU, you saw it. Actually, there's one thing that's kind of cool. The numbers we saw, there are actually several million that have adopted it already. But just to jump on what Ben said, before the May PU, get ready, review the materials, decide what you want your organization to see, you know, make the switch if necessary. There's a policy change for it. But don't be caught flat-footed by it, because we put it into the Office 2013 train to make it possible for you to take advantage now, if you want to. But it means you have to take some action to be ready for it.
That's right. That's right. Number two, I showed you how easy it was to do an in-place upgrade. So Skype for Business Server is the next incarnation of Link Server. It's available now. Go get it. You can upgrade right in place on top of your existing infrastructure. It has huge reliability and resiliency benefits, as well as a bunch of additional new features. And so we highly encourage you to do it. And then number three, if you're on Office 365, you have all of this goodness today. Anyone who's running on Office 365 on any kind of suite license, all of your users have access to Skype for Business today. They can download it freely and use it and start making, improving collaboration, reducing travel costs. It's a huge win, and you've got it all today. You don't have to do anything except let them at it.
Let them know, exactly. Particularly the meetings. That's really the big thing Ben's talking about here. If you're on E1, E2, E3, you have all the online meetings capability, the video, the sharing. You know, the things that we showed here, some of that will come a little bit later, but it'll be in Office 365 later this year.
That's right.
So try that out. All right, we've actually got three slides left, which are actually other sessions to go see here at Ignite. So let me cover those quickly, and then we'll have a couple minutes for Q&A probably at the end. The first one, if you want to learn more about the new features, here are a couple sessions. These are actually curated by Jamie Start, sort of the highlights of Ignite not to miss. So Bill Vertine is going to go deeper on the things we're delivering in Office 365. You can see there the coordinates for that. I like the idea. Some people taking a picture of it. Please do. The next one, going deeper on some of the room system devices, Albert, Anton, and Dan will be doing that one. You can see Tuesday morning. And then Greg is going to go super deep on the broadcast meeting stuff. We just scratched the surface on it. He'll show the producer experience. Did anybody catch that? It was in the keynote demo. Julia very quickly showed what the producer experience looks like. It's in the Skype for Business client, and you can choose between different sources. So come to Greg's session. He'll show that to you. And you'll really see how easy it is to take advantage of these things. So that's new stuff that's coming shortly. If you want to know depth on what's in Skype for Business Server and online right now, here are the ones sort of built purposefully for that. And people from both Ben's team and my team have collaborated on those. Jamie will do a session on voice. Actually, Jamie, I think, is still planning a pretty cool demo. You won't want to miss, actually. I'm going to be at the session just for Jamie's demo. And I kid you not, this will be very cool. Dan and team will go much deeper on just the online meetings, the stuff that if you're in O365, you own right now. We talked about the developer platform. We talked about Genesis as one example taking advantage. Ben showed the healthcare example. Andy and Daniel will go deep on that one in the dev platform session. And then finally, Ben did a demo and some slides on IT Pro tooling. Sean, Nick, and actually Tom's not here, so it's Sean and Nick. We'll go through the sort of full IT Pro tool set and how we look at that journey overall. So four sessions about the current product that can help you as you adopt. And then finally, these ones are actually customer stories. These are the absolute don't miss. You know, if you want to look at Accenture, a company using this at incredible scale for incredible ROI for the business. You know, Intermountain Healthcare, an example of a company really innovating and pushing the envelope in terms of integrating communications with the way they do their work. And then the others are similarly just fascinating sessions. Yeah. Those ones, if you can carve out time, particularly if you're not using Skype for Business or Link heavily in your org today, go check out what other companies have accomplished and have a chance to talk to them about it. It means even more than Ben or I talking to hear from people who are really doing it with success. You know, so with that, we were aiming to have 10 minutes left. We've got about 11. We'd love to take questions if there are any. There are microphones at different parts of the room.
Hey, on the, can you hear me?
Yeah.
On the video interop server?
Yeah.
In the topology, you know, I noticed it there. Should that be a dedicated role when you compare the interop servers from like Econo or Polycom? They're usually kind of heavy horsepower. And then on top of that, is that only for video interop inside the organization, or can you do it with, you know, external customers as well?
I see. Anton. Oh, I see. We're gonna do that. What it will allow you to do is, you should be able to use it inside of your organization, or really to reach any.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for coming. Or really to reach any VTC that you can actually get access to, and then in terms of a dedicated role, I believe it is a standalone role. Yeah? Yeah, it's a standalone role. It's using H.264, right?
And SIP.
And SIP.
SIP-based signaling, yep. That's a call for a T-shirt?
Now you got to get a question before you get a T-shirt.
Well, I gave one T-shirt.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So, if the broadcasting feature is offered on-prem, what's the requirement for that? Is there a tie-in to Azure on-prem with that?
The broadcasting feature is not offered on-prem. It is a cloud service only.
Okay.
But if you're a server customer, you can use it. But there's no special on-prem requirement to use it in that case.
That's right. So we've designed it so that if you know, if your Link or Skype for Business infrastructure is on-prem, you can still access you can still use it for broadcast meetings in the cloud.
Hybrid.
So if you have an E3 license
I think the answer there is we haven't announced pricing or
we haven't announced pricing. Da, 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 da. If you have online access, you'll be able to use it.
Yep.
Thank you.
If you have a regular Skype account, can you merge it with Skype for Business?
So the question was, if you have a regular Skype account, can you merge it with Skype for Business? No, we tend to think of Skype accounts as being your consumer account and Skype for Business being a work account. There's some interesting things you could think about linking the two, but today those are distinct accounts.
We'll switch to the other side here.
Yeah,
we're almost out of T-shirts, but keep the questions coming.
My question is regarding H.264 and SIP. So in Link 2013, we all know that Microsoft went to H.264 and that helped us out, but our company is one of those companies that has 200 of those 1 million Cisco rooms, right?
Nice
so
work.
What has changed with Skype now, that the interoperability, have you changed the uniqueness of what used to be, we'd always call the uniqueness of Microsoft SIP H.264 because it had its own dialect, if you will.
Yes. Yeah,
so what's changed that now brings that interoperability into my system?
There's a new server role that you can deploy. So if you want the video interop, there's a new server role that you'll deploy, and that server role basically provides the mediation and the translation between traditional Cisco and Tanberg rooms and the Link system.
So we're an old 365 environment. Microsoft supplies that server on their end, or you got to put something on premise to make that go between.
So
it always seemed to me a go between, right? You
got right. Them, so. So at present, the video interop server is an on prem thing only, and we're looking at ways to bring that into the cloud service.
Please, fast.
Yes, we absolutely. You hear that, Anton? Come on.
Oh, yeah, back in the back. That's a.
Oh, yeah, sorry, we missed that.
I can't throw that far. We wanted a T-shirt cannon, but.
I will walk up there.
Oh, perfect. I'll hold it here. It's the last one. After that, we're giving away Ben's T-shirt.
Nobody wants to see that.
So you guys actually touched base on Polycom and Cisco units, and what I wanted to know is our, I guess we really want to use some of our existing Cisco equipment for video conferencing in Skype for Business. Is that something that we can do?
Yeah, so if you use the new video interop server, you should be able to connect those rooms into any link meeting.
Awesome, perfect.
All right, so who's going to ask the question that earns you Ben's t-shirt?
Quick question. What's the difference between the traditional link meeting rooms and the Surface Hub that we're seeing?
Sorry, I didn't quite catch
so
that.
So the traditional link or Skype meeting rooms versus the Surface Hub that's been showing around. Like, why is there two? Is one being now obsolete?
Oh, it's a great question. So if you think about it, there's...
We're joining now. On
now, the, our, now our meeting our meeting was, our network was, go away. So yeah, it's a great question. So the way we think about it is that we've got a broad portfolio of meeting room systems that we provide. The Roundtable 100 is a great choice for a huddle room or a small space. The Surface Hub is an awesome choice for collaboration where you want a large screen and you want people to cluster around it. If you go down on the floor and actually play with the Surface Hub, you'll see that the sweet spot for it, like the cameras are designed to focus in like right here, and so it's designed as a whiteboard replacement kind of a thing where you're right up at the thing and there can be remote participants while you're working on the whiteboard.
Yeah, but so like we just invested heavily on the link meeting room, so like the
dual, on the link room system,
the dual 84 inches and stuff like that. So
yeah,
like so, I just want to be ready for if anyone says, oh, is that now old versus the Surface Hubs?
So we will not abandon you on link room system. Link room system is a great solution for, you know, a larger traditional meeting room where you want front of room touch and you want some inking capability. Surface Hub, I would say, takes the inking capability and the close collaboration capability to the next level. But we continue to feel that there will be a need for a broad spectrum of these kind of room devices to adapt to different room types, and so link room system we fully intend to upgrade to the next, you know, to the next wave of that sometime in the future.
And I think Ben hit a couple of things that you'll really notice when you go down to the floor. One is the link room system or the Surface Hub has a touch screen or two touch screens, you know, big, beautiful touch screens. This one will connect to anything. It'll connect to a projector if you want it. You know, and as Ben showed, the control is via a smartphone app. You know, so I think on stage the Polycom guy said they're shooting for about $1,000 price point for this. So there's also a difference in it's basically price point and capability between this Roundtable 100 and the room system.
Yeah, we're using these Roundtable 100s. We have them all over campus right now. And it's really kind of transformative to know that, you know, you've got all these little rooms and we've sort of thrown these in all these little rooms. And it's really kind of transformative to know that whenever I have a remote meeting, I can just sort of wander around and find one of the open, you know, like phone type rooms and there'll be one of these in it and I can pair and join and I'm in. It makes it so that, you know, full video remote meetings become just a standard thing that you do. It's quite nice.
Great.
The new QoE information regarding Wi-Fi and quality and device drivers and things like that, will that come down via the SDN API or other REST API as opposed to having to do a SQL lookup?
I don't know the answer to that. The data is all pulled from CDR and QoE, and then we have basically a SQL analysis services cube that is built, and then a website that builds on top of that. So in principle, yes. I mean, the cube itself is there for, you know, for you to access via REST, you know, via any APIs that you want. But the system itself is is more designed as a web interface. One of the things that I didn't show was the customizability of it. So you can create, I showed you sort of the canned reports, but you can go in and create, it's got a cool report builder, so you can go and create as many reports as you want. Each user can have their own set of reports, so you can really sort of drill into what you want to see.
But if we want to tie that into additional infrastructure information or databases of clients and connectivity and drivers and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you absolutely ought to be able to do that.
Cool, thank you.
Is there any, wait, let's get in the back there.
And there's another back one over here. He's so tired he sat down.
There are more over here too.
Okay. Oh, over there too. It's too many of you. Okay, let's go here and then I'll go there.
Does the new video interrupt server allows content sharing?
Does it allow what?
Content sharing.
Not yet.
And does it allow that in both directions, from Cisco to Link and from Link to Cisco? Can you dial into a Link meeting?
You can. Yeah, the other way dialing is coming in like later this year.
Okay, so right now it's from Link endpoint to Cisco endpoint?
Link call, other way, the Cisco endpoint calls in.
And Anton, it can join a Skype for Business meeting as well?
Yeah, it joins the Skype for Business meeting.
Okay. Yeah, is there a demo somewhere here that I can see?
Are we demoing it? No, it was hard to. We were lame and didn't bring a Cisco rig. But it's.
Thank you.
I work for an international organization, and one of the challenges that we have is some of our partners are in areas with either no internet connection or poor bandwidth. And I was wondering if Microsoft has a plan to maybe partner with some local telephone service providers so they can be able to provide either local access numbers or toll-free numbers from people around the world to be able to join Skype for Business meetings by dialing into their local numbers.
That's a great question. We're really trying to figure out right now our international dialing call-in plans for the audio conferencing service. I would really like to do that. I don't have anything I can announce just yet, but I would really like to do that. I think there's a real opportunity, especially with the existence of the Skype consumer network, where we already have, I think, 181 carriers that we partner with today, to interconnect those two things and enable that kind of thing. So I really want to do that.
Thank you.
I have a question from a usage case scenario. There's persistent chat rooms currently in Link. Is there a chance for persistent video chat rooms? So you can have, we have researchers across the country, and they have camera systems and hopefully service hubs in the future set up to whiteboard, but they want an always on video conference back and forth.
You could set it up now as a Skype for Business online meeting, right? It's in a lot of ways roughly equivalent to that, just with the video turned on and the whiteboard sharing. So we might want to talk offline until
yeah,
ways
definitely
we can improve
talk
that.
Offline, yeah, thanks.
There is a Skype client for Linux. Do you plan to introduce a Skype for Business client for Linux?
Yeah, that was a question in the back there. We at this point don't have plans to build a thick client or a rich client for Linux, but we think with some of the work in the browsers, we may be able to add more and more capability, even on Linux, as we build out the Skype web experience. You know, certainly the chat stuff, and over time, depending where WebRTC and ORTC land, We hope
yes.
and believe that we can add even more than just the text chat.
Yeah, it's one of the demos we didn't do today is about the Skype web experience. So you should expect that around about the end of this year, you'll have a pretty complete web experience for Skype that's integrated nicely in with Office 365 and can also act as a standalone. And so that would be where I would probably point you on Linux for a rich experience.
Okay, my second question is, when you plan to establish the PSTN calling feature worldwide, will the customers be able to keep their today locally assigned PSTN numbers?
Yes.
So you are rerouting them to your data center or something?
So the way that number porting works varies a little bit from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. But typically, number porting is available. So what we would do is, if you if you wanted to use our native PSTN connectivity, we would essentially become your phone company. You would port the, you know, we would port the numbers from the existing phone company into our system, and we would become your phone company.
And that will be available in Germany.
That will be available in the U.S. this year, and in our international expansion plans are getting figured out. But yes, Western Europe, Germany is a little tricky. But
yeah, I know. Okay.
So, but our intent is to get there.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right. You know, we've hit the formal thing. Let's take a couple more questions, then we can get off the stage in case other people have to, and we'll take questions down here if people want to.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, guys.